Praise the Lord. You're ready for God's word? Take at least look at least two or three persons around you, okay? Sometimes we sit through and we don't want to acknowledge the person beside us. All right? Don't worry. It's someone who loves you, okay? Praise the Lord. Say something good to that person like, hey, I'm too blessed to be stressed. How about you? Amen? Yes, too blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. And I'm telling you, if you look at the media today, what's on, that's happening and all that, it's enough to stress anybody out. It's really something that we have to be aware of in these last days. The Lord Jesus said, man's hearts will fail them. That's heart failure, isn't it? Man's hearts will fail them for fear of those things coming upon the earth. All right? Not to worry. Relax. The Lord Jesus will return. Amen? And he to whom the heirship of this world belongs to, the true king. Then when he comes again, he'll not just be the king of the Jews, he'll be the king of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Can I have a good amen? And the only one whose scepter is a scepter of righteousness, whose heart is kind beyond all measure, who has a tender touch. Amen. Yes, he will judge. He will put to right things that has gone wrong. Amen. He will set this world right. So he's not going to let this world go down the tube. Amen. There will be, I'm not saying there will be, things are just hunky-dory, everything is nice. No, there will be wars, maybe skirmishes and even wars. All right. And the Bible talks about it in Ezekiel 38, that Russia will have a place coming down from the north to Israel. And you read about it in Ezekiel 38, you'll find Russia coming down to against Israel. Right now, Russia is in position in the north of Israel. All right? Their excuse is, the Syrian conflict, but they're already in a position. Amen. Now, Ezekiel 38 is not Armageddon. It's prophesied about years before Christ was born by the prophet Ezekiel. So I know that this is one war that has not yet happened. Amen. But the Bible says that God will defend Israel. All right? I don't want to go into Ezekiel 38, but just want to assure you that man's hearts will fail them. So watch what you focus on. If you focus on all the bad things that, it's okay to watch the news, but sometimes after you watch 5-10 minutes, you got the main headlines ready. The rest is just repeat. Okay? No, okay. Okay. Pastor Prince, amen. Anyway, it's for you. It's for your own good, okay? Because the Bible says a good report makes the bones fat. What happened to evil report? Arthritis. Amen? You will need more calcium for your bones. It makes your bones brittle. A merry heart does good like a medicine. A broken spirit dries the bones. So when you watch all these kind of things happening, your spirit can be broken. And it dries up your bones. And then you wonder sometimes the next day, the next few days, you're having problems in your body and all that, and you don't even relate. And by the way, I do believe that a lot of the consequence that's mentioned in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is actually a book that tells us how we can have health even. Amen. It tells us what to avoid. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Amen. The words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down deep. It causes problems, even your stomach or your gastric, your gastrointestinal area. It can cause problems when you speak some words. And Solomon tells us that. It tells us that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Amen. So lots of things down there. Praise God. Amen. So just follow God's way. And by the way, complaining and murmuring can lead to sickness. Amen. So at the end, it's like you cannot, you say, does God send this thing? God doesn't send. God is a God of health. Amen. When Jesus was here, he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, he didn't heal all in Israel. He healed everyone that came to him. Everyone that asked on behalf of a loved one, they all received healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he said that he that has seen me has seen the Father. You want to see how good God is? Look at Jesus. Amen? He never gave sickness to anybody. Now, some religious people will say that, oh, that's the health and wealth gospel. I don't care what they say. I'm more interested that you know the truth. Don't allow people like this who live in big houses, have 4 or 5 cars, all right, but they don't want you to prosper. And their reason is religious. No, God is not into us becoming materialistic. God doesn't want us to love money. Amen. But God wants you to prosper. Poverty doesn't help. You know, if you go to these places and you go to some parts of the world, third world country, you'll find that mothers are giving up their daughters, all right, into prostitution at the age of 12, 11, 10. Friends, this ought not to be. And then there are some religious people crying out, you know, prosperity, prosperity. And you know, I don't preach prosperity. I preach Jesus. But I'll tell you that Jesus is prosperity. Amen. When he comes into your life, man, he changes your life. And prosperity means you have more than enough to be a blessing. Can I have a good amen? But not materialistic. And by the way, you can have the love of money. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. And you can have that love without any money. Amen. You're thinking of money all the time. So it's not true that rich people, all right, are evil. Okay? Just that poor people, when they steal one watermelon. All right? Rich people, they steal trucks. If they steal. All right, so all of God's people, David, Abraham, the man of God that you see in the Bible and all that, they were all prosperous, but prosperity with a purpose. You never start to squander it and use it, you know, for lustful purposes or self-indulgence. No, it's a vehicle. Money is a tool. Money is a weapon. Amen? In the hands of a good man, it is used for good purpose. In the hands of an evil man, it is used for evil purpose. Okay? Praise the Lord. May you prosper. I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. And if that gets me the title of health, wealth, prosperity, whatever people call me, I don't care as long as the truth is preached. Amen. Jesus is returning. It's important that you prosper and be in health. But you all know that Pastor Prince seldom preach, in fact, almost never now, preach an entire sermon on money or prosperity. Amen? Yet God has blessed us. What a building. Amen? Amen. What a work. Amen? And what a testimony to the glory of Jesus' name. Give him praise, church, and thank you for being New Creation Church. Amen? As well as Grace Revolution Church over in Dallas and all those that are watching. Praise God. Let's dive right into the Word. I want to share a little bit more about the Gospels. Amen? The 4 Gospels. Have you all been reading the Gospels? Okay, a few of you. Very encouraging for me. Okay, one more time. Have you been reading the Gospels? I told you, when you're not feeling well or you're down or you're discouraged, one of the best books of the Bible to get cracking, to get into is the Gospels, okay? But you only can read one book at one time. So go to the Gospels whenever you're discouraged or you have symptoms that you're battling with in your body or you're feeling down. Go to the Gospels and just look at Jesus. And don't worry about understanding all his teachings and his parables. Your whole point of reading the Gospels is to feed on Christ. Can I have a good amen? Smith Wigglesworth, the great English, he was once a plumber, but God used him mightily in the area of healing many years ago in England. And a well-known minister in England, great man of God, great healing ministry under this man. Doesn't know how to read any book. But he asked God for a gift to read, and God allowed him to read the Bible. Amen. He just received from God. He's raised people from the dead. Amen. We don't hear much about that being talked about, but God really used this man in a mighty way. Very humble man, gives all the glory to Jesus. He was approached one time by someone needing, you know, help, healing and all that, and the person asked him, Brother Smith, what books would you recommend me to read? All right, I want to receive healing. What books would you recommend? He looked at them and says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, what an answer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because when you spend time, all right, if you are sick, the parables are important. I've taught on the parables. His sermons and all teachings are important. But when you're sick, start focusing on all the healings and the miracles in the Gospels. Start feeling, start looking at Jesus healing people. Look at Jesus' compassion, his tenderness, his love, amen, for the suffering, for the afflicted, until you're lost in that story. See yourself as the woman who for 18 years was bowed down and only recognized people by their sandals. And Jesus calling her. And then Jesus healing her. Amen. Woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And many a times, you know, people say that diseases can be caused by a demon. And they're not wrong. Some demons, some sicknesses are caused by evil spirits. And these evil spirits, they sort of like attack your body. They cannot possess you, but they attack your body. And it seems like you're bound. The Chinese have this word saying wind. You know, the wind caused my bones to be in pain and all that. But in Hebrew, evil spirit is wind. In Hebrew, ruach. Holy Spirit is ruach hakodesh. Also, the spirit is called like wind. All right, we know it's a spirit. But the word breath, wind, and spirit is the same word, ruach. Amen. So when there are diseases caused, not all diseases caused by evil spirit. That's where medical science stops. And sometimes diseases can jump from one part of the body to another part. And there's no explanation, but it's a spirit. So deal with it like a person. Jesus dealt with it. So when you read the Gospels, you start looking at how Jesus addressed diseases. He talks to them like their personality. So this woman, but it's not all the time necessary for us to always address the spirit. So there's another teaching that says you must command the demons and command Satan to loose a person. But then when I read this, the woman bowed down 18 years. Jesus didn't address the spirit. And the Bible says she was bowed down by a spirit of infirmity. And yet Jesus did not address the spirit. So it's not always that Jesus addressed the spirit. There are times he did. But in this case, he addressed the woman. This woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. So I learned by reading the Gospels that sometimes you don't even have to address the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Can I have a good amen? Praise God. Now, there are 89 chapters. 89. All right? Chapters in the four Gospels. Think about it. 89 chapters. I want to show you God's priority. God's estimation of things. The way God esteems things and the way we esteem things is very much different. You know, we think goal is, wow, you know, you're more goal, more life, more goal, more happiness. But when you go to heaven, right now, angels are scratching their head looking at people pursuing goal. In heaven, they'll come here, look at all the street. All right, that's what you went for in your life on earth. All right, vain pursuits. Because in heaven, it's streets of gold. It's not paved. It's streets of gold. True, true gold. Amen. Thoroughly, all right, gold. Amen. Now, what God esteems is important. 89 chapters in the four Gospels. Only four out of 89 chapters deals with our Lord's birth and when he was 12 years old. And yet, people are interested to find out, how was Jesus when he was a boy? They go into all those extra biblical, you know, literature to find out what Jesus was like when he was a boy. And of course, somebody will tell you something. Well, there was a bird. I read one story many years ago, and they said that when Jesus was a young boy, the parents were shocked because they saw that a bird that he saw that was dead. I think dead or dying. He touched the bird, and the bird flew away. Heal. But then my Bible says that when he turned the water into wine, it was the beginning of miracles. It was the first miracle he did. So as a boy, he lived a normal life. Can I be? So don't go for all this, extra, biblical outside the Bible. Amen. Or Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. All that's nonsense. Are you all listening, people? Amen. Do not allow the devil to mar the beauty of our Lord. Can I have a good amen? Amen? 3 years, even the Gospel of John alone, 3 years of his ministry, out of John's entire Gospel, we have 12 chapters on his public ministry, 12 chapters on his public ministry, 12 chapters on his 3 years. But you know the last part when he went to the upper room and all the way death, burial, and resurrection? 5 chapters. 25% of the Gospel of John is devoted to 3 hours of his life in the upper room. There's something that happened in the upper room, isn't it? The teachings of the upper room. So we see the emphasis of God. Now, how many are you with me so far? You follow what I'm trying to say here, okay? We need 4 Gospels to typify that one glorious man. 1 Gospel is not enough. Amen? Just like last time, you know, they used to have this, photograph, not album, but the kind of thing that swivel around. Have you seen it before? You know, you have a picture of your children or your father that whom you dearly love, and now he's passed away. You look at the picture, when you swivel it around, you find that there's one where he's holding on to his grandchildren, playing with them or whatever. Another one where he's at work. Maybe he's a judge, he's a doctor, and he's dressed in his clothes as a doctor. And then you find him in another part where he's relaxing on a holiday. Different facets of the same man, but the one same man. Amen. So when you see the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit deems fit that these 4 Gospels is enough for you, all that you need to know, all right, that Jesus did. Now, are all these miracles in the Gospels all that he did? No. In John 20, we read this, John 20, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, many other signs which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. All the books that you read do not impart faith. Only the Gospels, only the Word of God will impart faith. And the purpose for writing, now this is specifically to John, but it refers to the Gospels as well. The purpose is to impart faith. So stop complaining that you have no faith. I got no faith, Pastor Prince. I'm so full of doubts. I'm fearful. I find it very hard to trust or believe God. No, stop complaining about your faith and get into the Word. Read the Word, amen. And these are written that you may believe. Not doubt, but believe. Amen? And the result is that you have life in his name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have 4 Gospels and we have 4 faces we saw last week. Now, I don't go over what I shared last week. So I'm going to show you the 4 faces real quick in the holy place. Look at the holy place, the veil. And you have the 4 faces. This is the veil that Moses or Aaron would see when the priest goes in, all right, to light up the golden lampstand on the left, the table of showbread on the right, the altar of incense in the center. This is the veil that was torn in the temple when Jesus died. And we saw last week that this veil is a picture of his flesh. Amen. There are 4 colors here that I touched on last week. And you have the lion. Amen. That's the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is typified as the King of the Jews. Can I have a good amen? And that's why when it comes to the King of the Jews, you find that his ancestral line, or rather his genealogy, that's in Matthew, goes all the way not to Adam, the first man, but the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Show them the Matthew 1. Matthew 1. Yep, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Son of David. David is the king. Amen. So here is the book of the king, the son of Abraham. To Abraham was promised the land. So is the throne and the land. Hallelujah. So that's the purpose of the book of Matthew. And the ones that are underlined are actually the 4 women that's mentioned. Now, it's interesting that these 4 women are mentioned and they all have dark, shady background. Okay, they have most of them sin in their lives, except for Ruth. Amen. Bathsheba, we're not too sure why she was bathing there, actually, but, you know, she knew that the palace was sloping down, looking down. But anyway, I'm not going to fault her. I'm just going to say that happened the way it is. It is what it is. Okay? She was bathing when the king was looking down. Now, you might say that it was the time that kings go to battle. Whatever it is, a woman must always be aware there are people watching, isn't it? Anyway. So, verse 3, can you see Judah? That's Judas, but Judah begat Phares and Zara of Tamar. So Tamar was a woman that acted like a prostitute so that, she would sleep with her father-in-law, because what happened was that, it's a long story, her father-in-law in those days and all that, when the daughter-in-law cannot bear children, he would start to give his other son. He's supposed to give the son to this woman, but he gave the son to somebody else, whatever. And then she said, okay, all right, if I'm left to be a widow or whatever, I'm gonna get seed from my father-in-law. I know it's very shady, I told you. It's not public reading material in church. You don't find them, you know, reading this story, but you can find it in the story of in Genesis, okay? And so this is Judah, we get Phares and Zara of Tamar. That's the Tamar for you. And then there's Rahab. And Zalmon beget Boaz of Rahab. Very interesting. Boaz is a story of Ruth, the man who was most eligible in Bethlehem. Amen. The guy who has the power to redeem. He's a wealthy man, a mighty man of wealth, the Bible says. And Ruth is a nobody. She's not even a Jew. She's from the land of Moab. She's a Moabitess. And she came back with Naomi. But the whole story is beautiful. I have an entire teaching called The Love Story of Ruth. And how you and I today, we have no claim on God. We're all sinners. Amen? Oh, we were. Amen? Amen? We are saved by grace. But now we are new creation. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? But we are like Ruth. We are not Jews, most of us. Amen? Naomi is. So we are friends with Israel. Naomi, okay? But it wasn't Naomi that married Boaz, a type of Jesus, the Redeemer. It was Ruth. And you find the story opens up with Ruth picking up the leftovers, gleaning the barley that fell from the reapers. Amen, her job. Then later on, Boaz gave her 3 months' supply. But finally, the story ends with her marrying the guy who owns the field. Now she owns the entire field. That's your story, folks. Amen. You're not gleaning. You inherit everything that Christ has. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen? So that is Ruth, the story of Ruth, and Rahab begat Boaz of Rahab. Zalman begat Boaz of Rahab. And the husband, Ruth's husband, the Boaz, the type of Jesus, she came from Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute on the walls of Jericho. Interesting, isn't it? Now, I covered all this. I wouldn't go in detail last week. I've covered all this last week. Then David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah, the one who was bathing. Now, you must understand one thing. David has many children and many wives. Not as many as his son, Solomon, but he had many wives. But, listen, of all the sons, God chose the one that was the son of Bathsheba. So it's God's way of showing us that your sin is not final. God can bring a miracle out of a very shady background. Now, does God approve of sin? Of course not. God hates sin. Sin mars and destroys everything that's beautiful in your life. If there is no sin, there'll be no cancer. If there is no sin, there'll be no death. If there is no sin, there'll be no separation between loved ones even. Even today, sin causes us to separate from people who love us because we get bitter, we get angry, we get resentful. Sin destroys. Sin always destroys. Just know this. If you're indulging in sin, you're destroying your own self. You're not destroying anybody else. You're destroying yourself. Amen. So God hates sin because sin destroys the ones that he loves. You need to understand, you know, how much God hates sin because he loves you. God doesn't hate sin because he is God. Yes, he is God, but he hates sin because he loves you. How much does God hate sin? As much as he loves you. How much do you hate the cancer in the one that you love? If the cancer is in your child, how much do you hate the cancer? The cancer is not your child, but the cancer is in your child. You know, listen carefully. Sin is in people, in men. God hates sin, but God loves men. How much do you hate the cancer in your child? As much as you love your child. So how much does God hate sin? As much as God loves you. Can I have a good amen? So that's the story of Solomon. But God can bring good. God can bring provision. You know, God's way is amazing. Where sin increased, grace superabounds. There is a provision called the trespass offering in the Old Testament where the injured party becomes a gainer. If you have been injured by somebody, if you have been lied about, if you have been deceived, you have been robbed, defrauded, then if you know how to respond in the correct way and bring Jesus into the picture, the promise of the trespass offering is that now when you are restored, when you are given back to, you gain 120% more. The story of the Gospel of Luke opens up with a man called Simeon who carried the baby in his arms The Gospel of Luke ends up with a man called Joseph of Arimathea who brought down a man from the tree. Amen. One